Maritime Corporation et al. Versus USA. Ms. Smith, when you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
The standard for damages in maritime law is to put the injured party back in the position they would have been in had the collision not occurred. That did not happen here. The yacht, the Marquesa, can be repaired. It is both economically feasible and physically feasible to do so.
Your repair calculations total over $1 million. And there is not an estimate in this record, including from your own expert, that approaches that.
The trial court's listing of damages in its opinion includes many things which are not part of the actual repair to the ship.
But appurtenances are included if they are reasonably. I mean, the problem that I think you have in this case is the standard of review. You have to show clear error and some surmount an adverse credibility determination. Even if we're inclined to agree with you, that's a pretty high barrier. And the court found that the appurtenances, the navigational equipment, the computers, et cetera, were a part of the functionality of this vessel and how it was used. And is that clearly erroneous?
Yes, Your Honor, it is. The actual damages to the ship itself total $839,000. That's the $784,000 in the repair bill from the Ocean Marine Shipyard for the repair to the ship. It includes those items Mr. Wheat testified were not included in that estimate, the sea stairs, the Glendenning cable master, the safety lines, the refrigerator, and the Nobletech software.
So you disagree that the antennas and the electronic equipment were not essential? You're saying they're not essential to the mission of the vessel as a, I forget how it was used.
Well, they're essential to the yacht as in terms of, well, they're not essential to the yacht in terms of its ability to sail on the ocean. Those are essential to the business purposes of Wheat International,
right?
Not to the actual yacht itself. That listing
isn't
that of
the yacht's mission, though?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what the yacht was designed to do, is to set sail and sell the product?
The yacht was designed to meet the corporate purposes, so it could be used as a platform for research and development and for marketing to customers. But those things are not attached to the yacht. They're proprietary to Wheat International.
One of the cases in a footnote mentioned the fact that a water bucket or something like that was an appurtenance, since it was part of the mission. So it's really not a question of whether it's actually attached like a fixture on real property. It's a question of whether or not it's a, as the court seemed to say, is essential. It's for use aboard the specifically identified vessel, here the Marquesa.
But I think that ignores what this the corporate purposes and the fact that this is proprietary information to the corporation. It's something that they sell. It's a product that they sell. It's not attached on every vehicle, every vessel. And even though vessels may have communications capability, there's absolutely no requirement that they have satellite communications, which is what these were. And the computers were part and parcel of that corporate entity, what it needed to test those antennas.
But the vessel was in service of the corporate entity. That's the vessel served the function of the entity in its as a platform for research, development, and marketing of its products. That's the vessel's mission.
But
and courts have generally been pretty expansive in their reading of what appurtenances support a vessel's mission, including things like reels. And it's a little hard for me to see that telecommunications and internet services, antennas and computers would not comport with furthering the vessel's mission. Especially as, and it's your burden to show, even if you disagree, I'm not hearing why it would be clearly erroneous to so conclude.
First of all, these are not ordinary telecommunications. These are satellite communications. They don't exist on other vessels. They certainly don't exist on any vessel the size of of the Marquesa.
But that doesn't matter. The question is whether or not, or at least, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble seeing how it matters, since the inquiry is whether it serves the particular vessels.
Okay, let's put that question aside. Even if you include the $60,000 for the Telesea antenna, the $7,900 for the Hera antenna, and the $5,000 for the Gold antenna, you know, with that $839,000, that's still not $1.1 million. And even if you look at that, what the actual value of this vessel is far beyond what was testified to in terms of market value. This court applied the constructive total loss doctrine. That doctrine was intended to achieve fairness, to prevent an owner from claiming excessive damages when there was a replacement readily available in the market. There exists no replacement for this ship. Mr. Wheat testified to that. The United States did not produce any evidence of an equivalent ship that it could immediately be purchased on the market and used in Mr. Wheat's business. It also did not present any evidence of what it would require to retrofit any of the ships it did consider, quote, similar, in order to meet the corporate purposes.
But the process that occurs is one starts with market value. And unless evidence of market value is unavailable, that's where you stop, with market value of comparable vessels. And that is what Mr. Horner did here.
But that's the key. It has to be comparable. It has to be equivalent. If the doctrine of constructive total loss is based on the theory that there exists a replacement readily available in the market, what you use to show market value has to be equivalent. It has to be capable of being purchased, it has to be available, and it has to be immediately used the same kinds of ways. They produce nothing along that line. None of the vessels that Mr. Horner...
Who has the burden of proof here?
We have the burden of proof in terms of proving our damages. They have the burden of showing that there was an equivalent vessel on the market that we could purchase. That's their defense.
I thought that they had to set the market value of the vessel for determining, as a frame of reference for determining whether or not we go to the constructive loss theory and look at whether it's economically more feasible to make repairs.
They do have that burden, but what they're required to do is show that those vessels are comparable to the Marquesa and can be, you know, purchased on the market. They didn't do that.
Your own witness, the insurance adjuster, said $470 for the boat and for the vessel, didn't he?
He was the insurance adjuster's surveyor. We used him at trial for purposes of survey damages, qualified as an expert on survey damages. His testimony is very specific in terms of stating the value for the insurance company, which then rejected it. For that value, he relied solely upon the length of the vessel. He did not consider any of the modifications made to it, any of the special uses that the Marquesa has been put to.
Well, let's look at what Mr. Horner did in terms of establishing market value. He reviewed sales of comparable vessels from a subscription website. He inspected the vessel, and he evaluated the features that had been added to or subtracted from the vessel to establish market value, which, as I understand it, is the process by which one establishes market value.
What Mr. Horner testified to, and particularly in cross-examination, I've been talking about pages 310 in the Joint Appendix, 310, 311, 313. What his actual market value derives from is a chart, and all that chart says is that they're Bertram yards, that they were extended originally 58, they were extended to 68 or 70 feet, sale price and asking price.
He inspected the vessel. Did he not?
He did inspect the vessel, yes, he did.
And he evaluated the features that the company argued had been added to the vessel to enhance its value, did he not?
At the time he stated his opinion on value, he had no idea
But he subsequently did, did he not?
Of course he did, but he'd already stated it was worth $440,000, and he wasn't going to back off that in trial.
Well,
this is totally predictable, you know,
testimony.
And that's
for the district court to decide?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that for the district court to decide?
Well,
for you to convince us
And he rejected all of our evidence. He rejected all the cross-examination of Orner that revealed that none of the vessels that he talked about had the features that the Marquesa does.
But
not
see,
a single
but Mr.
one.
Mr. Horner concluded that the modifications that had been made to the boat in some instances actually caused more harm than good, because there was an extension, there was a 5-foot extension that he was concerned affected the stability of
and
the
he,
boat. And he said that a lot of the additions were offset by the vessels, the condition of the vessel's exterior and its age. He did testify to all of those things, and the district court found him credible.
And the district court's finding was clearly erroneous.
Specifically,
Mr. Horner, specifically on the market value, for one thing, he did not use actually comparable vehicles to the Marquesa. Not a single one of those vessels that he considered had the Bertram flybridge that could accommodate up to 17 people.
This sounds to me like this is the exact argument you make to a fact finder, which would be the district court. Shouldn't your argument here have to be something different than that?
Well, it is.
Yeah, it should be not only. It seems to me you're making the same argument. You shouldn't believe that. You shouldn't believe that. You should believe this, and here's why you should believe this. But it's a different argument you have to make to us. You have to make, having done that, why is it clear error? Because it sounds like you're making a decent argument, maybe, that a fact finder, some fact finder may like, but not every fact finder would. And so a fact finder, we under the law, has that authority to make a determination. And I suspect the other side's going to get up and they're going to make a good argument that the judge was right and why those factors should not count and why those factors, in fact, sometimes cost and detract from the value. But where's the clear error? All you're telling us is that he didn't accept your argument.
The bottom line is that the trial court used the wrong legal standard in determining its value and applying the constructive loss doctrine.
And
market value is not a shackle. It's a standard. And this court previously stated that in Hewlett versus Barge Bertie. The court said the special value to the owner is a consideration of substance in determining whether repairs are economically and physically feasible.
So you think the flybridge is of some value to the owner?
It is. Mr. Wheat testified to that. He took 10 engineers
but
at a time.
But isn't there testimony that the flybridge is actually amounts to a deduction in value? You may not agree with that, but wasn't that testimony in front of the court?
There was testimony to that, but on cross-examination, he admitted that he had made no assessment of the Marquesa as to whether that was safe or unsafe in this particular vessel.
But that goes to
page 324.
Did you strike his? Was his testimony stricken on that?
No, Your Honor, it's in the record.
Well, then that just goes to weight, doesn't it?
In terms of the legal
standard,
but
doesn't that just go to weight?
It does, and somewhat go to weight. Yes, along with the other errors that he made in his testimony.
I'm concerned about your assertion that the trial court used the wrong legal standard. It seems to me that he followed both the law in this circuit and Supreme Court precedent pretty very faithfully. A vessel is considered a constructive loss if the cost of repairs exceeds its pre-casualty value. That's the law of this circuit. The measure of damages for a total loss is market value established by contemporaneous sales of like property and the ordinary cost of business. That's the law in this circuit, and maybe less significantly, Supreme Court says so too. And only if market value is not available, only if market value is not available, may alternative methods of valuation be used.
But the evidence was that there was no comparable vehicle to the Marquesa. There was no comparable vessel. There was no market value if there is not a comparable vessel that has been sold or is available for sale.
What did your yacht broker use to value the vessel?
Our broker used the one vessel that was comparable in terms of its customizations.
So there were comparable vessels.
There was that particular vessel. It was a Hatteras, not a Bertram, so it was different along those lines.
The district
court
heard that evidence.
It was cited in his opinion, but he rejected it. The trial court should have considered that testimony. That vessel was worth sold for $875,000.
He did consider it.
But he rejected it. Under the law, he should have accepted that. He should have also considered the insurance value in the case.
He's required to accept your witnesses?
Of course not, Your Honor. But under the law, he's required to look at...
He did look at it, and he explained why he rejected it. He explained why he found that testimony to be less credible. And he very clearly articulated those reasons. That individual was a personal friend of the owner and had only visited the vessel during social visits. He wasn't a surveyor. He didn't inspect the vessel or have it surveyed. And the information, much of it, on which he based his estimate was provided by the owner. His estimates were based largely off of a listing service that asked for, that looked at asking prices, not sales. And for purposes of determining market value, our cases say you have to look at sales.
That's not what the cases say. The
I'm
cases
sorry.
Say you have to determine value, and there are multiple ways to determine value.
I'm sorry,
market
I was
value
actually
is not
reading,
the only way.
I was reading from one of our cases when I said that.
Well, Your Honor, the Supreme Court stated in Standard Oil versus Southern Pacific that the ascertainment of value is not controlled by artificial rules. It's not a matter of formulas. There must be a reasonable judgment made by the court. And one of the things that you are to consider where there is
let,
no
just
market.
Let me say, you run over your time there. Why don't you take about 10 seconds to finish this, and that's what you will come back up. And then you have reserved some time. So let me take about 10 to 15 seconds to end that point, and then you'll have some time at the end of the argument.
Okay. Where there's a demonstration and the evidence that what the defense used as a market value does not reflect an equivalent vessel that can immediately be used by the plaintiffs in this case, then there is no market value. There's only one comparable vessel that was testified to by anyone, and that was by the broker who sells yachts for a living.
Okay. Thank you very much. You reserved your time. Ms. Case.
May it please the court and good morning. I'm Sarah Keast for the United States. The district court's decision in this case should be affirmed because the court did not commit clear error when it determined that the Marquesa had a market value and that market value was $440,000. The factual findings are amply supported in the record and are also based on explicit credibility findings of the three expert witnesses who talked about the market value. Does the court have any areas in particular they'd like me to address?
Market value, as I read Standard Oil and our decision in Hewlett, the measure of damages is established. Market value is contemporaneous sales of like property in the ordinary course of business. Is that correct? What other factors influence market value?
I agree. That is how market value is set. And it's only if there is not a market value that can be established by contemporaneous sales that you turn to other factors. And the language that was quoted about not being a shackle, that's all when you're looking at how to determine value in the absence of market value. But that's just not the case here, and Judge Jackson found that there was a market value.
You suggested that's the only way you can establish market value by comparable sales. You can certainly do it by comparable sales. Are you suggesting that's the only way to do it?
The Standard Oil Company versus Southern Pacific out of the Supreme Court says you go to market value, and only if there is no market value, I'm quoting, where there is no market value such as established by contemporary sales or like property in the way of ordinary business, then you turn to the other factors.
Such as it says, but I'm just saying, you think that language says that that if there are contemporary sales, that itself is the only way to establish market value?
There are numerous cases establishing market value, and all of them that I've reviewed have used contemporary sales. I have not seen a court use a different methodology.
But your answer is that's the only way you can establish it, then, in your opinion, is by contemporary sales?
As far as I know.
Is that what Hewlett's got a sentence in it that says this doctrine is a recognition that property may have value to the owner in exceptional circumstances, which is the basis of a better standard and what the article would bring in the open market. So with that language, is market value really the only standard if the owner testifies about some unique aspects of the vessel?
There are a handful of cases that are unique cases where the court felt that the market value didn't properly reflect the value of the vessel. But when you look at those cases, they're truly unique cases. A barge that would have little value being used as a caisson or a dry dock. And I believe the case of the Madison, where the vessel was designed for a specific run on a specific river. And so its value would be superfluous in another market, and there were no comparables for that river. But I think these are all very unique cases that are quite distinguishable from what's going on here. The value of the market.
Standard is market value unless there's evidence of a unique case, in which case the court can consider something other than market value.
Courts have considered in those three cases, the unique use of the vessel, but that was where the vessel market value didn't reflect its value to the owner, which is not the case here. The value of the Marquesa to the plaintiffs in this case was its value as a yacht.
What if the ship was a unique design first run, you know, say the first catamaran or some such thing like that, and there were no comparable sales? You could still establish market value absent comparable sales, couldn't you?
Right.
That was my question. It just comparable sales. There are other ways to get to market value. Comparable sales certainly is one that's acknowledged and a good one, but you could have other ways to get to market value, couldn't you?
Well,
and the ship wouldn't have to be. It wouldn't have to be that the owner thought there was something special about it. You could have a first run, first production, no other sales, anything like it. You'd have witnesses who could testify. There aren't really any ships comparable to that, but I could still say market value would be under my value, some kind of valuation system. This is what I think is worth. Couldn't you? You could have that, couldn't you?
Well, what I would say is that what the Supreme Court said in Standard Oil was you first look at market value in such as by comparables. But if there is no such value, then you're still trying to find value and you look at other measures. But you only get to that if there isn't what's a value on the market that's determinable.
I didn't say that what the judge did was improper in this case. Mm-hmm. I'm just suggesting that you could, in the appropriate circumstances, notwithstanding that language, I don't think the language forecloses looking to other ways to get market value. That language indicates comparable sales is a good way to do it. But it doesn't indicate that it can't be done absent comparable sales. Do you agree with that? Because you could have no comparable sales.
Yes, if there's no comparable sales, then obviously you have to turn to other methods of valuation. But I don't think that's the case in this
particular. I didn't suggest it was in this case.
I think the question is, before you turn to other factors, even in the context of determining market value, that there might be other factors than comparable sales, is how I understood the question. Isn't that a possibility?
I suppose theoretically, but there's many cases on this topic, and they all use comparable sales.
Well, let me then ask you something else. The plaintiffs contend that you failed to raise to the trial court the argument that you're making here about antennas and electronic equipment aboard the Marquesa as appurtenances. Is that true?
I don't think so. We argued throughout this case that the proper measure of damages was the value of the vessel, and it's black letter admiralty law that the value of a vessel includes its appurtenances. And that
you
these
did
are
not specifically. You're saying that you did not specifically argue the appurtenances, but you consider that to be subsumed in your argument about the value of the vessel.
I do, and they did not argue that they were not appurtenances, and it's sort of the default position that all the equipment on the vessel is an appurtenance.
Does every ship owner think his or her ship is unique?
I've met a lot of ship owners, and I think they probably do.
Yeah, because isn't it true that no matter how a ship comes out of the boat yards, most people, whatever the standard equipment is, most people upgrade something or add another bathroom or add another stateroom or add a better radio system or upgrade the generator. Isn't that what happens? So that really almost among different products on the market, probably, isn't it true that almost all boats are really a little bit unique in their own way, but that's taken into account in market value assessment and comparable? That's not what didn't say identical yachts or boats. It says comparable.
I agree, Your Honor.
Anything else? Thank you very much.
I thank you very much.
Okay, Ms. Smith.
We get into the major issue of what is a like vehicle or what is a comparable vehicle when you're looking at market value. The testimony in this case, uncontested, undisputed. Mr. Wheat, the Marquesa was purchased and modified. Number one, so that there could be up to 17 people seated on the flybridge. Number two, so that they could accommodate sleeping accommodations in three master cabins without having to allocate one to a captain or crew. There were a total of 5 cabins on the Marquesa. None of the vessels that Horner considered had any of those features. None of them could accommodate up to 17 people on the flybridge. All of them had only 3 cabins. None of them had separate sleeping accommodations for captain and crew. None of them had 4 heads. They had 2 heads along with the 3 cabins. The Marquesa was different from all of these other vessels because of the corporate purposes. That's why she was purchased. That's why she was modified. She was subsequently modified by Mr. Wheat in terms of the electrical power and the generators and the manifold and a number of other things to accommodate the special needs for the antennas. None of those other vessels had that kind of stuff on. And in terms of the antennas being appurtenances or included in the value that Mr. Pierce testified to, you know, the evidence is simply not there. What Mr. Pierce testified to was that there were specific itemized things that were customized on the Marquesa which affected their value, and those were the customized half tower, the flybridge.
Do you think it's possible that an owner can modify a vessel in a way that causes it to lose value?
Probably, but that's not what we have here. I mean, this is a situation.
Well, I don't know about that. Didn't Mr. Horner say that the flybridge could cause a problem with stability?
Mr. Horner admitted on page 324 of the joint appendix. He did not assess this vehicle in terms of whether it was safe or unsafe. That was sheer unbridled speculation on his part.
Did he testify to it?
Yes, he did. Page 324.
And it's in the record.
It is in the record.
It wasn't stricken for speculation.
It was not, but he also admitted he did not evaluate this vessel.
I'm going to take you back to the point. And why doesn't that go to weight? If it's admissible, it's in front of the fact finder. You can argue, I could argue, any judge could argue, anybody could argue to the fact finder, we don't think you should consider it. But if it's properly admitted and it's before the jury, or the fact finder, can use that fact in a determination, can it?
He did use that fact in his determination.
I said he may use it.
Yes, Your Honor.
You're permitted to use it. You're arguing against the fact that apparently looks like that was used to underscore the valuation. You don't like it. I understand that. But you have to admit what you have done. That is a factor that may properly be used by the fact finder.
It is also a fact that the vessels Horner considered to be equivalent were not, in fact, equivalent. And if you're going to apply the constructive loss doctrine in a situation like this, you need to be considering actually equivalent vessels tomorrow.
No, you're missing the point. What you just said doesn't flow from the answer to my question. I said it may be used. It didn't have to be used. And the fact that you say it's not equivalent, that's an argument you can make. But there's no legal doctrine that says that somebody has to accept your argument that they aren't equivalent. They could decide they were equivalent enough for purposes of valuation.
Yes, they can. But his testimony is explicit in the record that none of these vessels had the main features that the Marquesa had. It's there. He admits it. They don't have the Bertram flybridge. They don't have the 5 cabins. They don't have the 4 heads.
We just established that the fact finder could decide, as this fact finder did, that flybridge wasn't a net plus, it's a net minus to the cost or the value of the vessel.
They still don't have the 5 cabins that allowed him to take customers and use those 3 cabins overnight without having to have a crew in their space. Those other vessels had only 5 cabins. When you just have a listing on soldboats.com that states the length of the vessels, that's not a market that reflects the Marquesa's special features. The Ninth Circuit observed this in the President Madison. In that market, those special features are unnecessary and superfluous. Such a price could not give the owner, who needs these special features for his trade, the value of what he had lost. The trial court used the wrong legal standard. We ask you to reverse and remand with direction to enter full damages for the plaintiffs.
All right, thank you very much. We will adjourn court and step down and greet counsel.
Thank you very much.